This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my normal Monday morning comrade-in-arms here, McKendree University Hockey Division II head coach of the Bearcat Hockey Program, Gary Henson. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you much.
I also want to welcome in a good friend that I think a lot of as a great human being. He does an unbelievable podcast, the Kickin' Life Guru. He was a great hockey player when he was a young man, somebody you could look up to. And I tell you, if you ever watched the guy play when he was younger, he was, Rich, don't take this wrong way, undersized. No. But he played like he was.
How do you take that the wrong way? He's 5'5".
Well, they still give him baseballs when the games are 16 and under at games, and he's 40-something years old, which is a good thing, by the way, as you get older. But, hey, you know what? You were a joy to play hockey with. You're a great human being. I loved watching you play hockey when we were younger, and it doesn't surprise me that you're in studio wearing a Brian Sutter jersey. Rich Grogan, the Kickin' Life Guru, what's going on, buddy?
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Garrett, great to be here, guys. Thanks for that roundabout compliment, followed up with a right hook.
Roundabout?
Roundabout
it
compliment.
It is kind of
a undersized, yeah. 5'8", when my hair spiked up.
I was going to say,
8.
You were 5'8", with a 1980-something haircut.
Yeah, get a tape measure out right now.
Well, with the skates on, right? So, and Jim's right. I still go to the ball games and the Blues games, and not only do I get carded for alcohol, but I also get the 16 and under
test. So. No, I would give anything. I would give anything to be carded right now. I would be given anything to be handed a ball at 16 and under day like you happens to you all the time. And remember, the only reason you were 140 pounds when you were in high school is because all the hair from the mullet. Otherwise, no way, shape, or form.
80s mullet, yes.
But really,
he was part of that big power line with Tommy Brown.
Oh yeah, and Todd Ritchie, Stefan Richie. It was a good one. But no, I'm invited him. He's a huge Blues fan. Follows the show. Helps us by supporting us each week, so I thought I'd bring him in. Want to remind everybody, make sure you check us out. BluesNHLPodcast.com is where you'll find the podcast each and every week. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show. You'll get a notification each time we put it out. We do two shows a week during the season. Of course, at STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us on Twitter. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. We're not into the whole, hey, we got 3,000 followers. We're only following 100 people. We don't need to be that way. If you're a Blues fan, we want to know what you're thinking. Follow us at STL Blues Podcast. And, of course, don't forget us on Facebook. All you got to do is type in Blues NHL Podcast. You'll find us. And, of course, special thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm for letting us be part of such a wonderful network. Radio is changing, my friend. You want to listen to what you want to listen to, when you want to listen to it. Lineupmedia.fm. If you love our show, there's a couple other Blues shows on the network as well. You're probably a Cardinal fan. Two Birds on a Bat, baseball, Bleacher Bums, the Kickin' Life Guru right over here has got one. I guarantee you, they know your entertainment time is valuable. There will be something on there that is worth your time. Check them out. Lineupmedia.fm. Guys, I got a surprise for Rich. I know you listen to the show, but Gary, I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, go.
We're going to start off with smiles on our faces because we're going to go right away to the person that's awesome at being awesome. It's time for our Sharpshooter Report with Angela Sharp. Angela, what's going on? You there?
Hey, yeah. Hi, guys. How are you guys all doing?
Well, we're going to go happy this morning with you first before we call Jamie. What do you think of that? Hey, Jamie's been bumped for you. How do you feel about that?
I mean, Jamie, I should never bump Jamie, but I think we got a lot to be happy about, so I don't mind starting off being happy, right?
Well, nobody gets to deal with the crowd when things are good or bad more than you do. So it's got to be good times at the Scott Trade right now, right?
Oh, it's great. Like, you guys know that I was really excited about this weekend of hockey, you know, having back-to-back games Friday and Saturday night. Figured there'd be a lot of kids there and a lot of people taking the families there. So I was hoping that it was going to be a great game. I mean, and Friday was a really perfect game for that. You know, we started off with a goal within the, what, first 12 seconds?
Yeah.
And then to finish the game with the win, what was it, 19 seconds left or something?
Yeah, so, from an unlikely goal scorer. Yeah, that was a good one. Guy that's been working hard gets a big goal. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, what more can you ask for? And then, of course, another win on Saturday. So, yeah, I mean, I'll take it. I'll take it every day of the week. Anytime we can win, that's a good day in my book.
Sure. What's the pulse down there right now with the fans? Are they feeling like here we come type thing?
I would say with apprehension, here we come. But, yes, I mean, it's, you know, the typical life of a Blues fan there. But, I mean, everybody in the crowd was very excited that we won both those games. I mean, Friday night, that was the game that I think you really could feel the energy in the building. And then Saturday, it was like, yeah, we're winning this. Okay, that's great. Like, let's keep doing that. And I think you mentioned multiple times before, if we can get on the right set of streakiness, or we can get on a streaky win, we'll take it.
Yes, I will take a winning streak. Especially, we needed those games. You know, we're heading out for that, I call it the dreaded West Coast swing. I know a lot of people say that. As we head out there, it's never easy. You know, the teams are, you know, L.A., Anaheim, we saw what they can do. All the teams out there. We are going to go in Arizona, I believe, too. But the truth of the matter is everybody's, you know, an NHL team, you got to play them all. But, you know, people are fighting for their playoff lives right now. You know, they say that the travel out there and the time difference always mess with it. Just always seems like that's such a tough road trip. So we definitely needed the win. So anything sticking out to you in particular that you see? I mean, I know that, you know, for me, it starts with the goaltending. The goaltending's been very good. So for me, it's kind of starts the back and works its way up.
I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, goaltending is awesome. For me personally, I got to tell you that with this being such a long road trip, I mean, I don't think I'm back at home with the team for another week and a half.
Yep.
So for me, like, this road trip is going to be, I'm one of those people that gets really, really antsy if I'm not, you know, there watching the games. And like, I mean, I'm watching the games on TV, but it's a little, you know, it's different. It's different to watch them on TV than to like to feel the crowd and to feel the energy. So for me, I'm just kind of hoping that we can get through this road trip with a set amount of wins and that we can come back when we come back and, you know, the team can still be in the playoff hunt and the fans will still be excited to be there.
Well, anybody that knows you, I don't think believes for 1 minute that you would ever be antsy, Angela. I just can't see it.
I'm probably the least patient person you know, yeah. So that's okay.
You know, something happened outside of hockey at the game that, you know, every time I see something like this, I'm like a I don't know what you want to, an emotional wreck. I cry I cry at the national anthem every sporting event I've ever been to. I don't know why, I just do. I guess, you know, whatever. But they showed it, thank goodness, the guy surprising his family. Now, when you're at the game and something like he was a military guy coming home, he hadn't seen his family and I can't remember how long. Shame on me for not knowing the exact time because they put it in a paper, but he had not seen his family in quite some time. Looked like he had a couple of little kids, might have been two daughters and a wife, and they surprised her. He come around the corner and the place went crazy. The players are what's that like for you when that happens there? Because I mean, sometimes you get to deal with the families and you see, and then the fan reaction. What's that mean to you when you see that stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew about that, obviously. That guy, the military man, had actually contacted us, the Blues, and he wanted to do this for his wife. He wanted to surprise her. So, you know, that was kind of in the works for some time. They're trying to figure out the best way to surprise her. She came up with an in-promotion game that she would play. And then her prize was going to be, obviously, hey, your husband's here.
Wow.
Because I didn't get to MC that, I actually got to watch it from an outsider's point of view. And, I mean, that's always emotional. Every time you see those, you know, guys who have been in the military and they come home and they're surprised, their wives and their families, or even their husbands and their families, however which way it goes, it always kind of brings a tear to your eye. But I thought this one was really special because it's an organization that I work for, and, you know, they were able to step up and help this guy surprise his family. And then in addition to that, it's just really cool to be right there when something like that happens. Typically, when you see something like that, you're rewatching it on TV or on the news or something. And so to be in the crowd and experience that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. I think it's great. I mean, you see them, it happens all over, and it isn't that I don't care what team does it. I'm glad they do it. But you're right, when it's the Blues and it's at a game, especially if you're there and you get to feel that emotion, I think it is great.
As soon as the fans picked up on what we were doing and what was going on, and I mean, it took the fans a minute, I think, to figure out what was happening. But once they did, it was like all of a sudden, it was like almost everybody stood up together at once, which is really a cool thing to clap and give them a standing ovation. And you could see the emotion in her face, which was, you know, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I don't, people probably don't realize the Blues, you know, or, and all the organizations, and thank goodness for all of them, they do a lot for people for that type of setting. So good for them, good for the family. And again, I they can't do that enough in my book. So keep doing it. It's great. I love it. I love seeing, you know, again, nothing wrong with being happy, right? So we should be really happy right now.
We also had those two guys that saved the woman from the fire on their way to go watch a Blues game. We had them before the game, I think, on Friday. So we had them out there, and they stood out there during the national anthem because we wanted to honor those guys, too. I mean, that was a really cool story that happened two or three weeks ago. And so we finally caught up with those guys to have them out there, which, I mean, I think it's really awesome when Blues fans, you know, step up to help other people. And then, you know, we can show our support for them. I really like that.
Well, somebody with the Blues is definitely earning their marketing dollars because they never miss an opportunity to showcase great things that are going on within the community. So good for them. They seem to get it. And, you know, and again, that's why you work for a good organization and you do such a great job. Again, you're awesome at being awesome.
Hey, thanks. I really didn't have much to do with either one of those things, but it's just cool to work for an organization that does respect what people are doing outside of our team and you know, just kind of honor those people, especially the guy who came home from the military to visit his family.
Good stuff. Do you see our boy Shattenkirk's getting a 2-game suspension? Shame on him.
I did. I saw that.
I mean,
you guys know that I've been kind of, you know, I told you guys last week that when there's an opportunity, I do kind of check in to see what he's doing, how he's playing. And I saw that he left his feet. So
a lot of guys leave their feet. He got caught. That's how I look at that one. That's a good one.
That's true. He definitely got caught. So I'll miss a couple games and a good chunk of money. Well, not for him, I guess, but for regular people.
Well, I'll tell you what. Never fails. Anytime we need some positivity, we need a smile on our face. Who do we go to, Gary?
We go to Angela Sharp.
And why do we go to Angela Sharp?
Because she's awesome at being awesome.
All right, Angela.
Because I love that. I'm going to have to steal that thing from
you. Can use it. You can use it.
No, I pulled a Pat Riley. I got that copyrighted. So
he's already got that copyrighted.
Gary,
that's okay.
Gary came up with that just for you. Gary came up with that just for you. You put it, use it wherever. Just give him some credit. Say, you know, I'm awesome at being awesome according to Big G. That's all you got to say.
I'll take it.
All right. Don't forget, everybody out there, when you see Angela Sharp, don't forget to get your selfie and send out your sharpshooter selfies. Angela, how do they follow you?
You can follow me on anything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all just my name. No space in between my name, but my name is spelled weird. So Angela has two L's and Sharp has an E on the end of it.
I don't find that weird at all. Now, I might find you a little odd, but not. I don't find your name
weird. I'm definitely odd, and my mom spelled Angela a little bit different than most people. So sometimes it takes you a minute to find me. So I just like to let you guys know that mom did it. It wasn't me. So blame my mom.
All right. See you next week, Angela.
See you next week. Bye, guys.
And again, that's Angela Sharp with her sharpshooter segment. Don't forget, when you see her at the game, she's always happy to take a selfie with you as long as she's not running from one place to another. Just flag her down when she has a second. Get your selfie with her. Send it out, a sharpshooter selfies, hashtag. We'd love to see them. Love the fact that she comes on each week, gives not only a female perspective, gives a correspondent perspective. She's definitely our voice from you, the fan. You can communicate to us through her, whatever you want to do, but she does a great job. And as Gary says, she's awesome at being awesome. Rich, you go to a ton of games. Does she not do a great job?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The sharpshooter, boom, right then and there. Yeah. I can't tell the difference between her and Tarasenko shots. I mean, come on, think about it. That's sharp right there. Is that
gracious.
A good analogy there?
I think you're trying to set yourself up to get a sharpshooter selfie next time you go to the game.
And why wouldn't I? I mean, anybody out there.
I can guarantee he'll do it. He'll do it. Next game he goes to, he's going to go find her and go, hey, I was on the show Monday.
I need
to take a picture.
Tarasenko props. There you go.
That'll give you an excuse with the wife to get a picture with Angela. Yeah, say, I got to take a sharpshooter selfie. What do you mean? The guys made me do it.
They made me.
They made me. No. So hey, before we get to Jamie, I want to welcome in Rich Grogan here again. And as part of it, we try to get a fan's perspective every now and again. So just to kind of maybe either disagree with us, agree with us, whatever it wants to be. So Rich, I know you listen to the show a lot. We tend to take an honest stance to some degree without being overboard. How do you feel so far about this season as it's went about?
Well, it's definitely been up and down. I mean, with Hitchcock starting off announcing at the beginning of the year that it's going to be his last year, and being second all time winningest coach and great winning percentage and everything else, but the Blues just pretty much stopped listening. Now they lost a chunk, a big core of leadership there when Brower left town, when Backus left town, and a few others that all leaders in the locker room. So he was kind of, that's all part of coaching, though, right?
Yeah.
Moving along, I think Yost did a pretty, fairly nice job here. He started out at 6-1, and then he had a little bit of a losing streak. Now he's back, and we've won 4 in a row. So we're definitely battling for our playoff lives here moving forward. But from a fan's perspective, as you had mentioned there, and, Jimmy, we go way back in the old Brian Sutter era. So used to the blue-collar, hardworking Blues, and the Blues of last year, we took it to, conference finals. We ran into a buzzsaw with the Sharks there. This year, we're kind of back to the old 80s version, battling just for our playoff lives as opposed to getting the number one seed moving forward.
Well, I'd feel better about our chances if old number 11 was in the lineup, because he wouldn't let some of the shenanigans go on that seem to go on occasionally.
Players today are, that's an old cliche, right? Back in my day, but yeah. Truthfully.
Boy, are we getting old?
Kimball just showed up.
Yeah, Kimball just showed
up. Back in my day. But no, it's a whole new world out there. It truly, truly is. And sometimes it seems like in any sport, the athlete, unfortunately, separates himself from the team. It's more how many likes, like you mentioned on Twitter, or how many tweets, how many of this and that, as opposed to a team, unity, working together. And we talk all the time about the core concept of team. And when I go around giving speeches and lectures, that's my biggest thing, talking about a fist and the power, strength, and unity of a fist. If that fist is open, that's weakness there. You got all the fingers individually trying to do their thing. Collectively, you got a strong, solid fist. And when that fist is unified, that fist can do amazing things and can break through amazing things. Of course, that's the old martial arts attitude, but it's true.
I feel like punching something.
I was going to say, now, Gary.
Like I'm all fired up right now.
Well, I was going to say, I'm thinking.
Give me your computer box.
I'm looking at Gary over here, and he's looking at you, kind of like, remember that Bugs Bunny one where the two guys where everybody was hungry and they looked like food?
Yeah.
Gary's looking over at you like maybe he's going to need to bring you in for a few games next year to talk to the group before the game. That might be something for you, G.
It could be. I've known Rich a long time, and he's definitely a motivator.
I'm not kidding here. Now, just because he's not sitting here, I remember sitting on the bench, which I did quite often.
Me too.
But remember watching Rich play.
That's because you ticked off Gary's dad. That was the reason.
Well, but remember when Rich would play, how hard he would play, and we would get a kick out of it on the bench watching him. I used to tell people
all balls and no brains.
You remind me of Bob Bassan. I would compare you to Bob Bassan. That's who I used to tell people you played like. Now, obviously, the fighting didn't go on back in high school in our day like it does today, but. That's who you remind me of, man. You never backed away from a guy that was 100 pounds more than you or a foot taller than you, and there was a lot of guys that were a foot taller than you. Boom.
More than a foot. But, I wasn't afraid to hit anybody, and that's kind of that hasn't changed. And then, after high school, you take the mask off because you're a pro now. You're playing over in the Cahokia League, which is like the Iron League.
Chain link fence.
And I had the old nose broke countless times and everything else because, well.
You got to quit leading with your face.
Yeah. Quit leading with the face. Is that what it is?
I think so.
I got a little better at fighting. Went over to Korea and found out that, my face can't take as much as it used to. So get the hands out front. But, I appreciate that, guys. That's kind of always been the work ethic. Not a lot of brains, just work hard, work hard, work hard. And that's that Brian Sutter mentality and attitude. And, speaking of which, I'd love to come over and smack your boys around and motivate them.
Oh.
I know you can't smack them anymore. You just got to get
them. I'll just tell you, good luck.
Yeah, them days are over. Gary's dad used to, if you ever played hockey back in the old days at Granite City Ice Rink, there was no divider between the penalty box and the bench. And I would get a lot of dumb penalties because I wasn't as good as everybody else skating-wise. And, so when I would hit people to brace myself, my arms would traditionally raise above my waist, which is a no-no in hockey. So I got a lot of elbowing penalties. And one day, I guess your dad had had enough of me taking elbow penalties, and I'm sitting in the bench, and you know, and it's a close game, and I just took a penalty, and I knew it was coming. And sure enough, he comes over, and he could put his foot out of the bench onto the penalty bench, and he would say, "Come here." And he would grab me by my face mask and just shake my head back and forth. And he would say the same thing every time. Can you not hit somebody with your elbows below your waist?
Yeah, well.
Well, the truth
and he
told...
would shake my head back and forth because he knew the answer was no.
You said, well, occasionally. That happened daily with me. So, you know, I'm glad that occasionally happened to somebody else.
Well, to be honest, Gary, his dad was one of the first encounters I'd had through our hockey career of a dad not playing favorite to a son. We grew up with that. And this was bipolar opposite. Gary was wanting to change his name halfway through the season there.
Yeah, I don't know who got it worse, me or Todd Henniser with Jake. Remember Todd?
Todd got Jake kicked out of a game.
Todd asked me to come out of a faceoff in our zone. He said, "Gary, back out, back out." And then he had the referee throw his dad out of the stands. How great is that?
I think he may have you on that one.
That was awesome. But I couldn't throw my dad out. He was the damn coach.
Well, no.
No, he threw you out.
He threw me out.
Yeah. You had to live with him and ride home and everything else. But
that's brutal.
No, that's a testament to your dad not playing favoritism or anything else. And I was thinking about being on the show today, and I couldn't wait to talk about it. You know, growing up, we had some players that arguably – a little more wealthy family investment than the rest of us here, but that had no ties on Big Gear there. You screwed up. You sat the bench. I remember a couple times one of our friends and colleagues, I guess, who thought he could do anything because Daddy had all the money in the world, popped off, and there he sat the whole time. Didn't move from the bench, and he tried to play the daddy card, and Big Gear's like, "I don't give a well, who your dad is."
Just keep it clean. No, I say all the time, my hockey, high school hockey career, if that's what you want to call it, was always interesting. You know the deal. I'd never skated before. I'd played street hockey, and wound up playing with a bunch of these guys.
I think the fans knew the deal, too, when they saw him in warm-ups.
Well, but a couple of the guys are like, you know, I could shoot it.
He could shoot.
I could shoot it. I could snap it. I could shoot it. And I could hit, and I didn't care. I'd stand in front of the net, or I'd go in the corners. So these guys are like, "We got to teach you how to skate." And I said, okay. So I skated every day, and I was adequate.
You were enough.
For a guy that skated for 1 year.
You shot like Happy Gilmore.
All right.
Is that net regulation size or what?
But I say this all the time. The neatest thing ever was I remember being at the ice rink, and I had been skating with guys and this and that, and there was a varsity game, and I can't remember who it was. It was either – it might have been Joey Edwards. Joey said, "Go, there's Coach Henson over there. Go talk to him." And I said, okay. So I went over, and I said, "Coach Henson?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm Jim Cromer." He goes, "I know who you are, Jimmy Cromer." And I said, "Okay, well, you know," he goes, "I know you're friends with my son." I said, I want to play hockey." He said, "Well, who are you playing for now?" I said, "Nobody." He said,
"The Royal Hockey Select team.
Who have you played? Where have you been playing ice hockey?" I said, "Well, I kind of just learned how to skate." And without missing a beat, he goes, "Okay, JV practice is Monday at 6 o'clock. And he gave me a chance, you know. And then my senior year, I played, I didn't play a lot at the beginning of the year, but at the end of the year, I played a ton. So he gave me a chance, and it was the time of my life. And if it wasn't for Gary's dad, it would have never happened. Because I think most guys would have said, the YMCA is that way if you want to play some roller hockey. But no, he was a great dude, and I appreciated him very much. It's fun. Those are the glory. Rich, of all three of us here, you look like you could still play. Do you play any?
I take the kids to sessions, but I'm chomping at the bit to get out there in a men's league and play some. I've had, unfortunately, 9 knee surgeries. So
9?
Yeah, I know.
Now we know.
All rebuilt.
See?
Yeah. But
that playing hard.
He tries
like
to pull
that,
that jujitsu whatever on me. I'm kicking him right in the knee.
I'm still fast, so I could run.
Well, before we
skates are in the car.
We're going to go to our good buddy Jamie Rivers, who is the self-proclaimed talent of the show. So before we do that, real quick, your thoughts. We're down to the nitty-gritty here. I agree with Angela. I think this West Coast swing is going to dictate our fate. Your thoughts?
Well, it was good to get a win over Anaheim there. I mean, that's a tough team, and we came out right off the bat there, scoring 12 seconds in. Tarasenko lighting the lamp with putting one on the shelf, which was sweet. We backed off a little bit, and they came back, but we kept our foot on the gas back and forth, and I thought it was good. We came out right off the hop there. Got a goal 12 seconds into the first period and 25 seconds into the third period. And then, of course, scoring with 19 seconds left, which I definitely want to, rub Jamie here a little bit with, you know, the number six, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him if he's the one that taught Joel Edmondson to shoot like that.
Well, I'll let you ask him.
I'll definitely.
That?
And then, well, heck, Bartuzzo coming down the far side boards, working around to check and then making an Adam Oates pass.
That was a great play. That was a great play by Bartuzzo.
And then, you know, there we go, Adam Oates. Type pass.
No,
yeah,
on.
It was good.
Well,
and then,
not, I was say, let's not get crazy. But no, I will say.
I'm going to pump up Joel here real quick. He's number six, right? But a Brett Hall type shot.
Oh,
top
my
shot.
Stop.
It.
I know.
I'm going to tell you
right now. Two blind squirrels found two nuts on that play.
Brett, you are Mr. And you are Mr. Positivity, but
we're
let's not
build
get
that
crazy.
Up.
Let's
well,
not
we
got to
have
crazy.
It up for this West Coast trip. That's a long plane ride out there,
well,
especially with the time change.
Let's not get crazy. And speaking of
crazy, folks.
Yeah, go crazy. Speaking of crazy, there is absolutely nobody crazier than the man himself. Again, as I always say, the self-proclaimed talent of the show, Jamie Rivers on the line. What's going on, buddy?
How much, boys? How we doing today?
Yeah, I hear you chuckling, but you know it's true. Hey, how do we, you know everybody's waiting for it. We're waiting for Twitter alert, right, for a body part reference.
A body part?
Yeah. How are we pissed when we're on a four-game winning streak? I mean, people are waiting for Jamie's piss. What are we pissed about? I mean, or is it Jamie's happy today? What are we doing?
Well, Jamie's kind of happy right now. I mean, nothing to be pissed about. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a team that we knew was going to have to be a meat and potatoes type of hockey team. And I think that they've identified that. I think that Mike Yost done a good job of also basically putting the pressure on the big dogs. You know, like a lot of times the big guys in the past, you know, have been sheltered and whatnot, and not in a good way or a bad way. It just, it is what it is to where, you know, it's a team game. It's this, it's that. What Mike has done very subtly has said, we're going to be as good as our big guys are. And so, you know, he hasn't really said they're not playing well or they're playing well. He's just saying we're going to be as good as they're going to play. So at the end of the day, it's really a smooth move to kind of divert all the leadership, the onus, everything onto your best players. And he's like the other night especially, he said in these kinds of games, when we're being outworked or the momentum's not in our direction, we're relying upon one of our big guys to do something to change the flow of the game. And he was referring to the Tarasenko goal against the Islanders to, you know, kind of put them back in the lead and take back a little bit of the game because they were under siege at that point. So I like what he's done with this group.
Well, you know, I don't know how we could be upset lately now. Obviously, we've put ourselves in a position where this West Coast swing may, in fact, define whether or not we get in or not. Obviously, I think things are trending in our direction right now, but it is hard to go out west. We brought it up a little bit earlier. What's the reasoning? Is it just the – well, I mean, the teams aren't awful, obviously. They're good teams. You're going to play L.A. You're going to play Anaheim. Is the travel really that hard on the body when you do that West Coast swing, Jamie?
The margaritas are really good around the pool this time of year out there. I'm just saying.
Wow. Oh,
no,
boy.
The West
I think
you heard
the wrong question.
It's not like you're going into Hartford on this road trip. You know, you're going into some pretty good cities.
That answered so many questions from when we were watching you play.
I'm telling
Jim, you had a separate charter, know? Didn't you?
Most of the time, it was a separate charter. It was called a missed flight.
Oh,
is what we call that. So,
but I'm pumped.
No, in all seriousness, though, guys, going out west nowadays is not like it used to be. These teams are good. They're big. They're heavy teams. And you've always got competitive teams that are in it out there. Like L.A. is right nipping at our heels. Obviously, Anaheim and San Jose are in the thick of things. San Jose, in my opinion, probably playing as good as they were last year, maybe even better, more well-rounded team, if that's possible. A little bit scary. But that's tough out there. You know, like the time change, and then you have the condensed schedule out there because you don't get 4 or 5 days off or 3 days off. You get usually you go one game in, maybe a day off, but then you go back-to-back with the L.A. Anaheim. It's tough. These are going to be tough games where – they're big points that are on the board, and you know what? It is tough to win out there just because you're not on home turf, and those teams know how to play in their own buildings.
Well, we're starting to see some players step up. One of the guys, you know, that is doing what he should be doing, and I think some of it's had something to do with some of the changes that have went on, no doubt about it, is Vladimir Tarasenko. So, you know, I've been okay with his play lately, for sure. But I find an article today that I got to ask you about that says that, you know, that he's doing enough but not enough. And I'm kind of puzzled by what this writer wants to do. Basically, he wants Tarasenko to be a leader. Okay, and I'm like, why are we so concerned with whether or not Vladimir Tarasenko is a leader, number one? Number two, he's got to play with somebody, and I think they're kindly starting to do that. Now, if he wants him to be, and I don't know if maybe this is what he's getting at, he wants him to be Crosby or he wants him to be Ovechkin, the kind of guy that creates his own scoring chances, or he wants him to be a leader. I was telling Gary before the show, that's like going out and buying a Honda and then getting upset that it's not a different kind of car. I don't understand. He is what he is. He's a goal scorer. He can play hockey, but maybe he's not a leader, okay? Maybe he doesn't have the style of a game of an Ovechkin. I don't understand what this guy's getting at. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, if we're going to talk about Vladimir Tarasenko, it's not you're going out to get a Honda and then you're disappointed, okay?
All right, so I got a Ferrari, okay.
I would have to say, it'd be like more like going to get a Porsche 911 Turbo and then expected to go off-roading.
Okay, you know, there you go. That's a great example. Yes.
I would put it as comparison to that. But, you know, some guys are just leaders in the way they play and the numbers they put up. You know, Brett Hull was a captain here for us in St. Louis, and yeah, he was outspoken at times and this and that, but he wasn't a rah-rah guy. He's not a guy who, you know, went in the locker room and lifted your spirits. You know, I mean, he's a guy that went out there and said, you guys don't want to play the game the right way. Give me the pucks and I'll friggin' score. You know, and that was Brett Hull's way of leading the team. And Vladdy, with a language barrier, certainly with maybe his style of play is different than, you know, that of a grinding type, you know, David Backes that they've had here in the past. So I think Vladdy just needs to be left alone, quite honestly. Like, this guy's putting up pretty good numbers right now. I would be unhappy if he wasn't delivering for us on a regular basis. Now, could he be bringing more? Well, yeah, of course, we always want more. But I can tell you what, like, he's delivering enough here consistently to keep this team going, and he's providing big goals at big times. So, in my opinion, this is the wrong time to bring up any kind of leadership debate, any kind of discussion or any negativity surrounding this team. I think that there's been enough dissecting this team in the last while. I think that now's the time to, like you said, Carlos, accept what we have here as a group. And moving forward, let's highlight the positives. Let's highlight that Alexander Steen played so well with that line. Let's highlight that Tarasenko got a couple goals. Let's highlight some of the young D, some of the young forwards that are jumping in. Like, let's start to build this team up instead of knocking it down all the time.
Well, you know, another guy that's, you know, surprisingly, I haven't heard him get blasted, which is, you know, I don't want any of them to get blasted, but, you know, the numbers haven't really been there for Schwartz, but his game has picked up lately. Obviously we'd like to see him put a few in the back of the net on a consistent basis, but have you seen a guy as snake-bitten as he is right now? He had a shot the other night that I could not believe didn't go in. I just was like,
I saw that.
This guy is as snake-bitten as they come, and it happens, you know, I guess. It just seems – you know, I mean, I love the way he plays the game. You know, obviously the team needs more from him. They need more from everybody if they're really going to do this. But, man, have you seen anybody as snake-bitten as this guy is right now?
Well, you know, he's snake-bitten as far as the goal scoring is concerned. But, you know, if you ask Mike Yeo, he's really happy with his all-around game. And, you know, Yeo's, like I said, done a great job of isolating the positives surrounding his players right now. And one thing he's done really well is – keep Jaden Schwartz going, because a lot of guys would fold up shop and be like, I can't put a puck in the ocean right now. I'm done. That's it. I'm terrible. Yet he's out there in key situations and he's making good plays. And shit, he's having some plays out there where the playmaking he's doing to Tarasenko to create scoring chances is incredible. So you know what? Maybe Schwartzy isn't the goal scorer that we wanted him to be this year, but it's not like he's not on the score sheet.
Right.
You know, and it's certainly not like he's out there with a bunch of minuses either at the end of the game. He's playing some pretty difficult minutes. He's been thrust into a way more, way much more of a leadership type role since all these changes have gone on. So, yeah, would I like to see him score? Yeah. Am I saying there's no problem with him not scoring? No, absolutely not. But at least he's doing something out there still.
We saw the penalty shot for the Reaver the other night. Did you ever get one? Did you ever get a penalty shot awarded to you?
I did get a penalty shot in the American Hockey League, and I have to say that I did bury it.
Nice. I was going to say, you weren't skating by the bench going, oh, my arm, it's broken, like Rodney Dangerfield, were you? I mean,
No.
Somebody else take it for you.
I like those situations, Chrome. Those are fun times, and yeah. You know, I think Revo thought that was fun, too. Yeah. But, you know, when he came in, he's got to know, and I wish somebody would have told him, that most goalies, when they have a tough guy or a defenseman, they go for the poke check because they figure that these guys are not familiar with being in that situation.
Right.
And so it throws off everything. And all he had to do is just a quick little back to forehand, and it would have had Gibson laid out on the other side of the ice trying to poke check him without a yawning cage. But Ryan Reaves on a penalty shot, he went in there and he didn't run the goalie and get 5 minutes for head contact. So that's a positive.
Jamie, I saw it. I honestly think Gibson was beat, and that was a desperation poke check. I'm telling you,
I threw his stick.
Oh,
watch it! Look at him, Reeves. He makes a great move, and he gets caught. And his only chance is that poke check.
Oh boy!
Cause look at Reeves. Come on, you know when when they poke check.
Most goalies don't default to a poke check as save my life. You know what I mean?
They do when their legs are the other way. Come on. He wasn't butterflied poke checked. He was stacked the other way and poke checked.
Wow, a disagreement.
Right. Watch it again.
I'll tell you what. We'll give it to the Bearcat on this.
Oh, God. Thanks. Hey, Jamie, you're not here. I got to deal with him.
That's awesome.
Thanks a lot. Hey,
that's exactly why I gave him.
Yeah, here we go. Hey, speaking of giving, I'm going to give the mic over to our fan of the week, Rich Grogan. He's got a couple of things for you, Jamie. Go ahead, Rich.
Look out, buddy. Let's drop the gloves. Let's dance here.
Uh-oh.
We're going to go at it. Well, back to Reaves and the penalty shot. First things first, he scored a goal earlier in the game. Looks sharp, sweet, nice. And then I don't know who was more surprised, Reaves or the 20,000 were packing the stadium when the referee pointed to center ice for a penalty shot. Did anybody get a chance to follow up with Reaves after the game and ask him about that? Or?
Yeah, you know, obviously, I think he probably had more microphones around him than any other time in his career revolving around that play. So, he obviously just as shocked as anybody, and certainly not a guy that has ever been put in that situation on purpose, meaning that, you know, the coach hasn't leaned down and said, hey, Revo, you're taking this penalty
shot. You're taking this one, buddy.
So,
game's on the line. It's all up to you.
Surprise for sure. But, you know, he said that he just – enjoyed the moment, tried to make the most of it, and try not to embarrass himself. And I think he did a great job.
That was good. Definitely fired up the fans, that's for sure. I guess my biggest point was at the game Friday night, and it was, you know, great to see the Blues jump out ahead right at 12 seconds, Tarasenko lighting the lamp there. And then the third period, they came out and scored with like 25 seconds in. But the most impressive play, I think we'd all agree with, was Bertuzzo driving down the far side boards and making, I was talking to the guys earlier, and they were kind of getting on to me here, an Adam Oates-type pass.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
I got to pump up Bertuzzo here.
Adam Oates.
You'll see where I'm going with this here. Adam Oates to, instead of number 16, it was number 6, you know, Joel Edmondson, and what kind of shot was that? And I know, Jamie, that was your former number, so I've got to ask you, man, are you the one that taught Edmondson to shoot like that? I mean, that was one heck of a shot.
Well, when Eddie and I originally went over that shot, you know, he used to drop a knee and go top shelf on the other side with a one-timer. But, you know, obviously, Bortsy had a good pass, but it wasn't right in his wheelhouse like we had planned.
Yeah.
So he had to adapt and overcome and come up with that last shot that he had.
I mean, the pass was all the way from the far side boards across the ice. I mean, kind of a dangerous pass. You know, the center picks that off.
Was thrown out in front.
He got by the boards there, avoided the check. I was proud of him, and he moved on in.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, guys. That's a sign of where they're at as a team.
Well, defensemen, you know, pinching in there.
Everybody's being judgmental a little bit, like, oh, are we there, are we not, you know, this, that, the other. But that's a play, quite honestly, you know, 3 months ago, there's no way that play happens. Two reasons. One, everybody's too shit scared to be jumping up the ice and make that play, let alone, you know, have – two guys that maybe wouldn't have even been in the lineup at the same time together, Bortuzzo and Edmondson, connecting for that play. So, you know, for me, like I said, I think it's a sign of the times. I think it's a sign of where this team is headed. And I think it's positive that, Coach Yo has these guys believing enough and at least enough confidence to go for it there and not just sit back and do what might be, you know, expected of you on a regular basis.
Hey, Jamie, I think it's only fair to tell you who you're talking to here. This guy shows up, and now he was a tough customer for a little guy. I love saying that. When he played hockey, he shows up in here. He's got his
5'7", about a $125 whatever, soaking wet with equipment on in
high
school.
Then he shows up with a Brian Sutter jersey on, and he gave you half the story. He compared the Robert Bortuzzo pass to an Adam Oates pass. What he's left out now, because I think he realized the craziness and that we may call the insane asylum, he said it was a Brett Hull-esque shot.
Well, I was going with the Oates to Hall, right?
Yeah, sure you were.
I knew we're going to have Jamie Rivers on here, so number six.
Brian,
16.
call Kettler. Let's get some guys up here with a white coat.
We need it. We need it. Jamie, do you think, late in games, I've been seeing the fourth line out there, Reeves, and putting those guys in those situations when the game's on the line, having the fourth line getting some ice time there, that's got to build their confidence, talking to the team that way. The mindset in the locker room, now that Hitch is out and kind of a whole new positive mental attitude are in there, and I'm not saying Hitch wasn't, but he was kind of the old school. What are you seeing with the boys there?
Well, you know, like I said, it's a change of the guard, and whenever that happens, there's always changes in some shape or form with a lot of things. And obviously Mike Yeo had the advantage of being here while Ken Hitchcock was the coach to see – you know, to get a firsthand look at what's working, what isn't working with this hockey club. And so he had the opportunity to kind of take some notes. And when his time was to come, which obviously was earlier than later, he knew he wanted to change a few things. And I think the number one thing that he knew he'd have to change was to get the confidence or the morale probably up a little bit. And Hitch is a Hall of Fame coach. There's no doubt about it. But he's still an old school coach that will kick you in the nuts if you need to be kicked in the nuts. And there's the body part.
There's the body part.
There it is. Ding, 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 ding. Get everybody on Twitter.
Ding. Yeah. Pardon the pun. Ding, ding.
So, oh, boy. Now we got a real Twitter alert.
Now it's on.
But you know what I mean? He's a hardcore guy, and some of these players nowadays aren't built that way. They just aren't, whether we like it or not. Just the way it is. These players are craving information first and foremost and not segregation. Away from the team or away from their line, or if they don't play well, to be left out of everything. So I just think you're seeing a sign of a team that is embracing what they think is a new style and working together and realizing that, you know, they're not as bad as everybody thought they were going to be after trades and coaches being let go and all that. I think you're seeing a team that now believes that, hey, we can get in the playoffs and go from there. And I think that that's the best way you can approach it.
Yeah, Rivs. So I think one of the a really subtle message by Yo, and I think it's going to be I think it went over well with the team, and I think it says something going forward, which is Reeves had more minutes in the third period than Tarasenko the other night against the Islanders. Well, so
yeah,
that says something, I think. You know, I mean,
well, I know Mike, when his time in Minnesota, I know that Mike regretted a few things that had transpired there. He learned a lot, loved his time there, but he learned the hard way that you just can't cater to your all-star players all the time. And that, you know, by doing so, ultimately, it's going to be your own death. And so I think when he came here, he realized that he wanted to create a certain standard that every player should be held accountable to, and that if that standard's not being met, no matter what style of player you are, then there's going to be, you know, something taken away, which is minutes. That's the only currency a coach really has, is take away ice time. And then, therefore, if he sees somebody that's really doing it the right way, his job is to reward extra minutes. And, you know, whether he believed Tarasenko was not doing the job or not, if it was just – maybe it might even
see, I think it was the reverse of that.
Tarasenko. It might have just been that Reeves' line was playing so good.
That's what I think.
That he kept them out there. But at the end of the day, ultimately, it's at the expense of some of your higher-priced players. But I think what I'm getting, the point I'm getting to is that he made that decision before he got here that he would no longer coach by the size of the paycheck for the player, but by the size of the effort from the player.
Right, and I thought he really liked that matchup and just went with it. And I don't know. As a coach, I will tell you, I thought that that was a positive for the team. I didn't see it as a negative for anybody.
No, there's no negative, but yeah. You got to remember here, our fourth line, or whatever you want to call it, energy line, it's not really your stereotypical fourth line. You got Kyle Brodziak and Scotty Upshaw that kill penalties. And I've said this all year long.
Right.
When you're killing penalties, it's some of the most important ice time that you can either give or take away from a guy. And these guys get the ice time, which means they're heavily relied upon to win hockey games. And then you put big Ryan Reeves out there who, in my opinion, he's embraced his role a lot better recently. He's played physical. I still think he could, you know, buzz the tower a little bit more on some guys that take liberties, not necessarily fight or do anything stupid, just, you know, make sure he's around and get in there, get a little talk to the bench every now and then to let them know that the sheriff's in town, you know.
Yeah.
But all in all, that line is really, really good together, and they do have the ability to play against other teams' top lines because they skate well, they move the puck well, they're physical, and they work their asses off.
Well, we'll see what happens. This is it. I've got a feeling this is a big, big road trip. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, it's a big road trip. They're not home for a while. They're going to some tough competition. You know, LA's fighting for the same type of spot we are. I guess we'll see where we sit on Thursday. We'll have a little bit of an idea anyway, huh?
Yeah, this is time to put the pedal to the metal. We've talked about it at different times throughout the season. But this is a time right now where, you know, you're under 20 games left in the season. You've got to make sure you're establishing yourself. And the Blues are barely in the playoffs right now. They have a chance with some of these games on the West Coast to put some distance between some of the people that are chasing them and themselves. And it's time to do it. If they don't do it, then it's their own fault. So this road trip is pivotal as it is. Really, it's up to them to dictate how this is going to go.
I would think as a player, all you could ask for is exactly what you said. Put it in my hands and let me decide my fate. Right now they're in, so it's pretty simple. If they win enough, you know, they're in. They're not chasing anybody. They don't need any help from anybody right now. Right now they're in. Keep winning and roll from there. Jamie, I guess appreciate you calling in. I guess we'll see you on Thursday in studio.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care, bud.
That's Jamie Rivers. Don't forget, each and every week, Jamie is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, whether he's in the studio or out of the studio. We want to thank them for all their continued support. You're going to hear them on just about every sports show, every sports thing. They're so supportive of the community when it comes to that. What separates Vincent Mortgage from most? Remember, you can chat live with a loan officer at vincentmortgage.com. Get the information you need instantly. Visit vincentmortgage.com and click chat with a mortgage expert. You can connect live and in real time to one of their professional loan officers. They can help you figure out the best way to reach your family's financial goals. You want to buy a new house in 2017? Call them. You can get pre-qualified in less than 5 minutes. I feel like I don't need to tell you the number because everybody knows it, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. 314-839-9999 or just visit vincentmortgage.com. Great supporters of the show, Sean Vincent and his group over there. And, of course, you know, the guy that probably we need to get on someday, Scott Nelson, who went on the Quebec trip with Kimball and might have a couple of stories. So maybe, and I know you've been talking to them a little bit. You like one of their players,
their oldest, yeah.
Their oldest. You like him as a possible Bearcat.
That's right.
Maybe you got some inside track. We get him on and get some stories about Kimball. But Scott Nelson and his wife, they do a tremendous job. They've been doing awesome work in the lake area. And if you're in that area, 573-392-9993. But they're moving their business. They're going to try to grow it here in St. Louis. We're going to try to help them do that. The only name in landscaping you need to know is Nelson Land. Whether you want to add some splash color into an existing landscape, add a waterfall or a pond, or transform your new home just into a private paradise, Nelson Land has the tools to do the job and do it right. If you just, you know, they encourage you, just go to nelsonlandservices.com. When you get on here, you're going to see the work they do. I couldn't even attempt to do this, but I would love to have a couple of these things done to my yard. You need to give them a call. They do it all, anything you may need done. All we're asking for you to do is just check them out. NelsonLandServices.com. Their support is so appreciated. Again, 636-244-5651. Gents, as we kind of wrap up our our segment before we go to our friend Brad Lee with the Game Time Report. I'm going to put you on the spot, Rich, since you're in studio.
Absolutely. Love it.
Do they get in or are they out?
Blues are in.
They're in.
There is. No doubt.
Is that just, hang on. Stop.
No, hang on.
Okay. You are a glass half full guy. You're a positive guy. I want you to put your real hat on. Are they in or out?
Well, they're in. And let me give you the glass.
No, I'm good with that.
Actually, we've been, all the motivational reading and this and
sure.
that. A new little twist on the glass half full, half empty.
Sure.
It's what's in your glass.
Uh-oh.
So there you go. I'm fired up like you today, Gary.
Aren't you? I tell you.
Are you ready for practice, Gary?
I'm going jogging or something.
Are you ready for this? Here it is.
Okay.
If your glass is as clear as muddy water, it doesn't matter if it's half full or half empty. You're polluted. Clean that glass out. Clear glass. And then, of course, it is half full because you're looking at what you can do with that. But that baby's got to be clear inside, so clear, positive mental attitude, so you're working together. You're not looking through clear as mud, muck. And that clear vision tells me the Blues are in. Now, they got to keep playing like they're playing. They got to believe in themselves, and I think Yo's got to move in the right direction. As you mentioned, Gary, giving Reevesy in the fourth line extra ice time the other night, that's huge. I mean, you think about years past, that fourth line wouldn't even get on the ice in the third period.
Right.
And now they're, well, you mentioned he had more ice time than Tarasenko.
Yeah.
And Tarasenko had two goals, so he had an opportunity
for a hat trick. Yeah, it wasn't a slide on Tarasenko.
No, not at all. It was the way that fourth line was playing. So, yes, they are in. It's going to be, I think, the biggest test is tonight against L.A.
Well, that is a big one. And what you know what I think of when I think of a glass, whether it's half full or half empty, and it's clear? And that's my vodka is half empty. Let's get another one.
Good
that's,
one.
That's what I think of. I don't know.
Yeah,
my bottle, unfortunately.
Yeah,
is,
no, I'm just kidding.
It's a bottle of water. Those
but no, seriously. Hey, Richie, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, guys,
you're
thank you
awesome.
Very much.
Loved
I really
having you on the
it.
Show.
If I could give a shout out to the
absolutely.
Sharpshooter there.
Yeah.
To be honest, I had a major brain freeze. I guess one of those multiple concussions that I've had in the first 10 minutes of the show, I blacked out there. So, Sharpshooter, keep up the great work out there, girl. I'm proud of you. See you on the Jumbotron. I got season tickets, so I'm there all the time. Stop by and see me. I'm usually in section 105, the club seats.
You want her to come see you? That's not how
it works.
You've
got to find her.
No,
you've got
no.
an in now. You
come
get to go
on.
To her and say, I was on the Blues NHL podcast. I need to get my picture taken with you.
We'll have a happy medium somewhere.
Well, you figure it out, but we want that picture out there with a hashtag, Sharpshooter Selfie. We got to have it.
Sharpshooter Selfie. There, it's coming.
Hey.
Well, you know, I need a new fan for the Kickin' Life show. Maybe I could have her on the show.
You should have her on. She is the awesome of being awesome, and she is positive,
well,
too.
You said awesome being awesome. That's kind of our word at the studio.
Oh, my goodness. She's stealing
awesome
your stuff,
awesomeness.
Gary.
It's awesomeness.
I've got to get
We are the
this
most
paper.
Awesome of the awesomeness.
Speaking of awesome, it's time to go to our man, Brad Lee, with his St. Louis Game Time Report. Always love what he has to say. Again, don't forget the Game Time Report. You know, the Game Time paper, the St. Louis Game Time, is an awesome paper that you get before Blues games out in front. Find their vendors. If you follow us on Twitter, at STL Blues Podcast, we always do a great job of trying to make sure to share their stuff so that you can find where they're at. They do have their own Twitter as well, at ST Lewis Game Time. Follow them. They are always putting out where they're at, when the paper's ready to go. But it's a fan perspective type paper. They have great articles written. A lot of things that you're thinking and a lot of things that are going on that you may agree or disagree with are going to be in there. And again, I love it because it's a fan's perspective, and that's what this show is. So let's go to Brad Lee for his St. Louis Game Time Report.
Hi, this is Brad, and welcome to the next episode of the Game Time Podcast section of the Blues NHL Podcast. Glad to be here. Thanks, Jim. So I'm recording this Monday after a busy hockey weekend at Scott Trade Center, and the Blues are on the road tonight, starting a really important road trip that we'll get to here in a second. But first, let's talk about the two wins the Blues had on Friday and Saturday, first against Anaheim and then Saturday against the Islanders. They have a four-game winning streak, which followed a five-game losing streak. So it's hard to say that these games are more important than games other times of the schedule. But, you know, the importance is the Blues are in the eighth and final playoff spot right now, the second wild card spot. They're a couple points behind Nashville right now, so they're still within striking distance of getting out of the wild card and getting into that third place spot, which only gets you the second place team in your division, which right now is Chicago. So either the Blues are going to play Minnesota or Chicago, because they're either going to be probably the eighth spot or they're probably going to be the third spot. And either way, you're going to play the top team, which right now is Minnesota, or could be Chicago. The Blackhawks beat the Wild on Sunday. Or it's going to be Minnesota, who's in the top spot, or could be who could be in the second spot after they lost to Chicago, and they're really super tight racing for the division lead. So I don't think that it's going to be an option to really be the second wild card spot. They're a couple points out of that. There's no way they're going to catch second in the division and have home ice advantage in the first round. So really, it just kind of depends on how comfortable you want to be down the stretch and maybe who you want to play and what kind of situation. It's more of going to be a point of the Blues need to peak at the right time. And they're definitely not peaking. Even though they got the wins on Friday and Saturday, I don't think they were perfect wins. You know, the first game against Anaheim on Friday, it was kind of bookended. 12 seconds in, Vladimir Tarasenko scores. And then 20 seconds left, Joel Edmondson scores. And they also scored in the first minute of the third period. So, you know, it was kind of a lucky situation where they, you know, they get the goal from Edmondson. Robert Bortuzzo skates the puck in. He kind of draws the defense to him. He passes it back across the ice to his defensive partner, who puts kind of a hard wrist shot on net. He elevates the puck, and it goes through traffic. And it was kind of a situation where, at least on TV, you could see where he shoots the puck, Edmondson, and it kind of goes in traffic and disappears, and then all of a sudden it's in the back of the net and everyone's celebrating. And really, one of the most important parts, I thought, was when they cut to the bench and they showed the players just really going wild, celebrating on the bench, celebrating the win. You know, granted, it was 20 seconds left, but it sure felt like it was going to overtime and sure felt like it was going to be a win with only 20 seconds left. And really, that shows how this team has kind of come together. If this game had happened maybe close to the end of the Ken Hitchcock era, I don't think you would have seen that kind of celebration on the bench, I don't think. That's what my gut instinct. I don't have any proof of that. You know, it's kind of a minor thing, but I think it kind of shows how this team is maybe coming together a little bit. So Saturday night, the Blues get out to a 4-1 lead, and the Islanders pretty much dominate the third period. There was a time earlier in the game where Dmitri Yaskin took a double minor, and they killed off 4 minutes of power play time. That was really important. Tarasenko scored again. They get out to the 4-1 lead. Then they allow 2 third-period goals, which is troubling. And there's kind of a frantic finish. And Carter Hutton probably didn't play his best game on Saturday night, but played well enough to get the win. And I think the team played well enough in front of him to get the win, which is more like it. So, you know, both of those games are really close to going to overtime. And who knows what happens in overtime? Who knows if it goes to a shootout? And they get the 2 points. So they turn a four-point opportunity into 4 points. Very easily could have been 1 point each game, so a 2-point weekend. And I don't know. They don't have a lot of margin for error right now, the St. Louis Blues. If they take some more penalties in the offensive zone, like David Perron did, you know, they on Friday night they took a too many men penalty, the 12th too many men on the ice penalty this year, and they allowed a goal which got the game tied up against the Ducks 3-3. You know, Ryan Reeves gets a penalty shot and misses a penalty shot. They've got some opportunities. They make some dumb mistakes. They barely kind of eke out some of these wins. And that's fine as long as they keep doing it. But, man, the puck bounces the wrong way, or an official review goes the other way. The guy isn't called off sides, or, you know, who knows what. Then maybe we're talking about a different story. So that kind of sets up this week. So tonight, Monday, in Los Angeles, they play the Kings. And, you know, the Kings have been a really good team at home against the Blues for a long time now. So that's not a given. And, you know, they're playing pretty well. They beat the Washington Capitals on Saturday 3-1. They got Kevin Shattenkirk suspended for 2 games by taking a pretty dumb hit that he put on in the corner. But, you know, it's... the Blues don't have a lot of luck in Los Angeles. So, and it's the team chasing them in the standings. So the Kings are going to have a lot of motivation. I think the Blues will have a lot of motivation too, but the Kings are going to try to play their best game tonight. So it'll be interesting to see if the Blues get any points out of that. They have Tuesday off, then they play across town in Los Angeles in Orange County. They go to Anaheim and play the Ducks. Then on Thursday night, they travel up the coast to San Jose. All three of these games in California are going to be tough games. You know, if they win one and get an overtime point or win two, I think that's success. If they get swept all three, which could happen. I mean, they lost 5 in a row before winning these 4 in a row. You know, it's going to make it a lot harder. Then they end the road. Then they go on the road also on Saturday at Arizona. And if you look at the rest of the schedule, the rest of the month after this week, You know, they play Arizona, I think, three times before April. They play Colorado two more times before April. It's going to be a much easier schedule. So I think there are some points that are going to be had later in the month, and they might be able to pick on the Sisters of the Poor, the two bottom teams in the Western Conference right now. But you got to get to that point. And if they're in a playoff position at that point, then they're kind of just padding their lead maybe, and maybe they're going to threaten to get that third place in the division and have more security going into the final couple weeks of the season. If they struggle and they're out of the playoff positions by the time they get to Arizona on Saturday, you know, then those games become a little more tight. And who knows? When the Blues play tighter, I don't think they excel as well. When they're loose and kind of flowing and exciting, and, you know, having fun playing the game, things go a lot better. So, you know, a good showing in California this week would definitely lead to better opportunities later this month. So that's really all I've got. It's, you know, there's the two big games, and then they go on the road, and we'll see what happens on the road. So, you know, stay up tonight, stay up Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll see what happens. So this is Brad. I'm with Game Time. We're the Fan Run Paper, sold outside every Blues home game, outside the garage, outside 14th Street doors, the northeast corner of 14th and Clark, outside the City Hall parking lot. You can also find us at stlouisgametime.com, on Twitter at stlouisgametime. And I guess I'll throw it back to you, Jim. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it very much. Guys, great show today. Rich, I was going to let you go earlier, but you decided to sit through the report there. So, again, thank you for coming on. We do appreciate it and really love what you're doing with the Kickin' Life Guru, your podcast. Again, as I'm watching Gary over here do jumping jacks because you've got him so fired up. You know, he's lost all this weight. Now you've got him doing jumping jacks in the studio because you got him fired up. Maybe Mike Yo should call you when the playoffs come around.
I think that would be all right. Get him in there. And, you know, I've been known to break sticks, kick trash cans, and get in people's faces. And,
oh, my goodness.
Take
gracious.
My share of beatings, but that's how you learn, right?
You did play for my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, no, I appreciate it, Jimmy. Thank you very much. And fans at home there, you've got one heck of a podcast here. So make sure you tune in, subscribe to it, tell your friends about it. I mean, where else do you get a chance to talk to Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball, and, of course, Gary Henson and Jim Cromer?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I got the
praises going
around.
Nobody wants to hear from me.
But, no, thank you very much. And please check out, if I can give
a small plug. Absolutely.
For my podcast there. It's called Kickin' Life Podcast. It's all about me giving you a kick in life, inspiration, motivation to live your best life, to believe in yourself, take things to a higher level. One last plug, our academy, Grogan's Academy of Martial Arts, just won Business of the Year for the Edwards-Redland Carbon community on everything we're doing to help and make our community a better, happier, safer place to live. So thank you very much.
I will say the most impressive thing about you, even though you've always been a great friend, you talk the talk, but you walk the walk.
Thank you
very
much.
You do a great job for your community. You give of your time. You're supportive. You go out and you make things right. You do a great job. You're a good man, and we appreciate you. Speaking of...
Thank you, Jimmy.
Speaking of inadequacy...
I look at Gary. Gary, before we let you go...
We did shower together, right?
Yeah, yeah. What's going on in Bearcat Hockey World?
Bearcat Hockey World is full attack on recruiting right now.
So, really?
Yeah.
I got eligibility left.
You mentioned
left.
The Nelsons. We're trying to get Nick to come be a Bearcat member.
You hear that, Scott? Let's get this done.
Sorry, Scott. I had to put that out on the airwaves. But, yeah, we're trying to get Nick there. So we've got lots of local guys that we're talking to. I've mentioned it before, about 15 to 18 local guys, many of which have connection with Jamie with Synergy Hockey. And, of course, we're international. If you guys look at our roster, we're represented by 6 countries. As of right now, next year, we'll be represented by 10 countries. We're adding, obviously, 4 more. And we are just attacking as much as we can to get this sewn up before the end of April.
You know, between Rich and myself, I'm pretty sure we have 8 years of eligibility left.
You guys do have eligibility left, and there are several schools that would take you. McKendree might be looking in a different direction. I don't want to upset
Damn
you.
Damn it.
Upset you guys, but...
I thought we had it, Jim.
You know?
I feel like that scene in Napoleon Dynamite. When he goes, darn it!
But yeah, so McKendree, we have a women's team and two men's
there,
teams.
We're not even good enough for that.
No, they're way better than you guys. I mean, it ain't even close. So, yeah, so between the three teams...
We're running out of options, Jim.
between the three teams.
If they ever have a street hockey team,
you guys are in.
Man.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey.
Yeah, full frontal attack on.
Full frontal? Wait a minute. Hang on a minute.
That's a military
Twitter alert.
That's a military term.
Twitter alert. Another body part reference. Full frontal.
No, there was no body part.
All right. Whatever. I know what I think of when I hear
Well, that's the
hockey
problem.
Hockey players, the only parts of our brains at work.
Well, hey, guys, great show. Rich, loved having you in.
Thanks,
you're welcome to come sit in anytime, talk Blues hockey. You're such a, like I said, I know you're a huge fan, obviously,
absolutely.
But you're a great dude. Love having you in studio. Gary, good luck with the recruiting as you keep working here. Love having you in studio every Monday. And
well,
then
good luck
you,
if he keeps turning down players like
you know,
us.
I was going to say, I don't know what he's thinking
here.
I don't either. But love having you in studio, and especially sometimes you drop by on Thursdays and or fill in for the guys. It's great stuff, but appreciate you both. Again, don't forget, VincentMortgage.com. Such great supporters of the show. Check them out. NelsonLandServices.com. Don't forget to check them out as well. Special thanks to LineUpMedia.fm for all their support. Make sure you check out BluesNHLPodcast.com. It's where you'll find the podcast. You can listen to some back episodes. You can decide if we're crazy or not, which I think everybody's already decided we are. Of course, at STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us on Twitter. And, of course, Facebook as well, BluesNHLPodcast. Again, coming to you from the LineUpMedia.fm studios, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.